Show's going to get started here in just a couple of minutes. In the meantime, can we play some music, Gino? Can we go back to the tunes, or is it one or the other thing? Let's do it. Normally, we play Ace Frehley back in the New York groove at the beginning of the Naira Betts show, but to celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Woodstock Music and Arts Fair, we're going to do something a little different today.
He's on another planet right now. Listen to this. You can't turn off during this part.
He's on fire.
We can do it.
Hello and welcome to the Naira Betts podcast. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you live from Saratoga Racecourse. Very excited to be here for this Alabama Day. Did something a little different with the music there in honor of the 50th anniversary of Woodstock. Of course, that was Carlos Santana. A little bit of soul sacrifice to get things going. Ace Frehley will be back next week. We'll be back here next week, too. We've been here for all the Saturdays at Saratoga in the Don Julio Bandstand, which is right behind the grandstand and nestled in between the building and the Dunkin' Donuts. Come join us for next week as well. One other quick programming note. As soon as we finish this show, pretty much, the scram messages are going to begin from the announce team here at Saratoga, and you'll be asked to leave. You got to go somewhere. Might as well go across the street to the Brentwood. Dan Torgman and I will be chatting over there, talking a little bit more about this card, about his life and time in racing. There's going to be free bagels, always a selling point, and they make a mean Bloody Mary. So that's my recommendation. You have to leave here. Then you can come back after 11 o'clock. I am very happy to be joined today by one of my favorite guests returning to the In the Money airwaves. He is professional horse player Paul Matisse. How are you, Paul?
Very good. Thanks for having me, Pete.
Warm round of applause for Paul. We made him get up early to come out here. There was a betting line on whether or not Paul would arrive on time. The late was a heavy favorite, but the underdog came in. He was here at the same time as me this morning. Paul, how's your meet been going so far?
Well, so-so. It's been a weird one because I've had lots of winners and lots of singles, and a lot of the picks have won. But on the other hand, when I have races that I don't have a good opinion in and I have four or five horses, and that's when I've lost. So it's been like a mixed bag. The good thing is I think I've done two seminars. I've done good in both of them. So
I saw you the other day on Capital, the place across. This is the Naira Betts show, so I'll just say the place across the street.
Right.
You were on there, and you did a fine job, and I'm sure you're going to have more winners for us here today. Before we talk about the specifics of today's card, another general meet question for you. You talked about you've been getting beat in these spread races. That's something that's always very frustrating. Are there any tools for a professional player such as yourself to deal with that situation, or do you just chalk it up to bad luck and you just keep doing what you're doing and try to, even when you don't have a strong opinion, still X out something akin to half the field as you've been doing?
Well, I think that's the toughest thing about playing the horses is that, you know, anybody can win. Winning is easy, but when you do this every day, and the losing's hard. And I've, you know, at Saratoga, you see a lot of people come regularly and every day. And watching that with other people, one of the things that I've had to do this meet is I've watched my son, who's 18, and he's had a lot of chances at a lot of pick fours and pick fives. And to watch him lose and learn to lose has been very painful for me. So I understand, you know, that pain. I'm kind of going with him, trying to figure out, you know, as a newbie and as somebody who's done it for a long time, trying to deal with losing is a very difficult thing. And, you know, you got to find, it's different in every person. So you got to find a way to deal with it. But if you keep doing things right, the last week or so, I've been doing a lot of things right. And even though it hasn't broke through, I you know, you can sense that you're doing things right. And as long as you do that, that's all you can do, really.
We talk on the show all the time about the concept of seeing the ball well.
Yeah.
And when you're seeing the ball well, it's going to put you in a mental space to make better decisions. What advice do you give in that situation, though, when the losing is frustrating and you see him on the edge of tilt, I'm guessing? What advice can you really give?
It's tough. I mean, I think it's an inner balance. I try to look at the big picture, you know, that it only takes one. You know, kind of like if you're playing baseball, you know, if you're hitting the ball good and they're just not falling, they will, you know, over a long season. And try not to make mistakes because you're losing. That's the biggest thing. And, you know, we all do it. But it's you got to stop that. You don't want to change what you think is right just because in the short term it hasn't worked.
It feels like chasing is the thing that kills people more than anything else in this game. And to have the mental fortitude to stay out of that trap.
Or really quitting. But one or the other. You see one or the other happen, you know.
To be able to stay in the pocket and keep taking those rips at the ball, that's the key. One other general meat question for you. Is it me or has this meat seen more of these, I'm going to just call them like inexplicably bet horses. We use the phrase all the time, they knew. Has this been one of the great they knew meets that you've seen? I swear I haven't. So many of these horses that are surprisingly bet are running out of their skin. I feel like it's at a rate greater than I've seen it before. Is that just recency bias or am I on to something?
No, I think you're on to it. Without a doubt, that's been the theme of the meet. Especially yesterday was a great example of that. But I talked about this the other day a little bit, that the nature of racing with the way it works now with the horses running every 45 days or longer in some cases, it's just an environment more where the clockers know more, the barns know more, because we're not seeing horses like, you know, I use the example of Get Stormy when the filly that won the two stake races. And everybody saw her win 6 days before she won the next stakes race. It was very simple to see that she was going to run good, you know, because we just saw her a week ago, you know. That used to be the commonplace. Every horse you'd see, you know, they'd run every week. It's not like that anymore. So the training in between the races has become so much more important. And I think it even intensifies up here at Saratoga.
There's so many people around, so many people talking. All right, Paul, we're going to have you mark our cards for the day here. But before we get to that, I do want to do a little read from our sponsor, Naira Betts. The Naira Betts Travers Bankroll Builder returns to Saratoga this Saturday. This is your last chance to earn the bonus. Bet $50 on one horse to win the Alabama. Win or lose, you get a $20 bonus. New Naira Betts players can join the action and earn a $200 new member bonus as well when you use the promo code MONEY at sign up. Join today at nyrabets.com. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, anytime. And when you sign up, make sure you use that promo code MONEY. Easy one to remember. All right, Paul. We've got the first and third races off the turf today. The rest of the races remain on. We're going to go through this late pick five sequence in a bit. But in terms of the early part of the card, is there anywhere you're looking forward to sinking your teeth in?
Yeah, right off the bat, the first race was a very difficult race when it was on the turf. But I really liked the 9 acre. I liked them on the turf. But when it came off the turf, I think his competition would became more at a disadvantage. I think he'll like the dirt or turf. He's a brother to Leah, who liked Saratoga and could run on dirt, turf, poly, anything. And his first race was sneaky good. It was a really good maiden race, and he was along the inside when the inside was really bad. And he showed good speed. If you watch that replay again, the situation today is going to reverse completely. He's outside, and there's not going to be as less speed, and the race is going to be way easier than the horses he faced last time. So I'm expecting, and I like the fact that Bill Mott's, you know, ripping them right back. And so I think he's going to be the key here in the early race.
All right, we got one to get going right off the bat. In terms of your betting strategy, what are you thinking with number nine acre in race number one? Is this a single to start the pick five, one you'd like to build verticals around? What's your inclination?
Well, when it came up the turf, it kind of changed the whole perspective. So I haven't really thought about the betting part. I saw Jonathan on TV yesterday, and you know, like you were talking about earlier, you can always learn from other people. You know, he was talking about preparing yourself to bet more, and I think that may have been a mistake of mine this meet. I've done a lot of handicapping, you know, and I've been happy with my handicapping, so I got to think about it more, exactly how I'm going to do it today. But I'm sure I'll be in the pick five, and he'll be a big part of it.
That is a theme on the show as well, the idea of trying to spend as much time thinking about how you're going to bet as you do handicapping. Too often we see an hour on the race, and then the bet gets decided in the time it takes you to get up from your table and walk over to the window.
Right.
Not a recipe for success. So definitely taking some time and constructing those wagers properly, something that you're more than entitled to do. When you look at the early part of this card, where else are you excited to get involved?
Well, the fourth race, the more I look at the fourth race, the more I like the three, Desert Lights. You know, there's not... The last race that he came out of was extremely fast. And his form on, you know, when you look at it initially, it's kind of blah. But I think he's a type of horse that I really like that's improved. There's hidden improvement in, like, every line. And I expect him to go forward again. And he really doesn't have to. I think his last race puts him right there with on the wire anyway, and I think he's even going to go forward. So that's a horse I think is a really good key, because I know he's going to show up, and he's going to be there anyway, even if he doesn't improve. But I think he might take that next step.
Tell us more about that hidden improvement. What are you seeing in the running lines that portend that for you?
Well, in his case particularly, when he came back off the layoff, he didn't break good his first time. He didn't break terribly, but he didn't break good, and he showed more speed than he normally does right out of the gate, which I took notice of. And even though he tired, he was off a layoff, and it just seemed like he had more gas than he normally has. And then his last race, I didn't think it when he ran that it was an improvement, but when I was doing the figures afterwards and the way the race came up, that race is one of the fastest races for the claiming races all meet, you know. So, you know, an undescript third by seven, you know, wouldn't be a thing that you would think is a normal improvement. But if you put all the X's in, you know, put the boxes together, it's better than it looked.
For those that don't know, Paul makes his own figures. So how important is it when you have a number that comes up faster than the readily available commercial numbers? Is that something you look at, or are you just looking at what you come up with and trusting that? Or do you get extra interested when you maybe have a race fast that the rest of the world thinks was just okay?
Well, yeah, in a perfect world, that would be a great thing. You know, that Beyer and Jerry Brown, Third Grip, everybody gets it wrong. You know, unfortunately, they're really good at what they do. So you don't get that very often. But this one might be a little tricky, this race here that came up. So, you know, you just go with the flow and hopefully. But I do believe that, you know, back to what we said earlier, I think the computer people that are playing that affect the odds here at the end have gotten better with speed figures. And I think that we're seeing a lot of that with the they know concept as well. Because in the old days, you could find horses that they would make mistakes on figures, and it seems like they're even. I don't know. I'm not sure how they do that. Do you know who does them or anything?
Oh, I think it depends. But yeah. I'm certain that there's people out there using techniques involved with, like, machine learning and things.
That's what I was worried about.
Evolving.
Yeah, I think it may be some AI stuff. Yep. You know, doing figures, and that's a little scary. That,
that is terrifying.
Yeah, that they're getting so good, but you know, We probably won't fool them on this one, but I do think he'll be a little bit of a price. I don't think this one's going to get over bet or anything.
Unless you've got something strong in the fifth or the sixth, I think we should move on to race seven, where the Naira Bets late pick five is. This bet is now available nationwide, but it's still worth playing through Naira Bets, because you do have the option, not option, opportunity of winning $1 million bonus if you play through Naira Bets and you're holding the only winning ticket in the sequence. Paul, what did you think about this two-year-old maiden that goes as race number seven? I was going to fall for the favorite in here. Do you have anything clever?
Well, the thing, yeah, I do have one little angle here, that the info horses, the workout horses are definitely the four, the Pletcher horse, and the one that's a little off a little bit is they really like the nine, Feisty Bird. The thing about those two horses that is interesting, and if you read some of the clocker reports, and I have a friend that's a clocker, so I get to talk to him a little bit. Both horses haven't broken great from the gate, and I'm not a big fan of, doesn't matter how good the horses are, the horses that, when they don't break from the gate real well, I don't want to take a short price on a first-time starter. Too many things can go wrong. So The horse that I'm kind of interested in that's a little different, that's off the clocker sheets, is the five, Unprecedented. He, in a gate workout earlier in the month, he beat a horse called Famished, who ran in one of the toughest two-year-old races that John Kimmel had trained him as well. And he ran a really good third, and I thought that was a very talented horse. And this horse beat him in a workout, and this horse broke better at the gate than the other horses that he's running against today. I don't think he's going to have a ton of speed, but I just like the fact that he's handled the gate better. He's handled everything. And he might get overlooked because I know there's going to be steam in this race on those other two horses, and they're going to take money, you know.
The one I was thinking was going to be the favorite. Now I look at the morning line, and according to David Aragona, who's very good, the favorite is going to be that number four, Candy Tycoon. But I was interested in the six, Irish Myas, in here. Did you have anything positive or negative on that one?
Well, that horse ran in and off the turf race, you know, and the race came up fast, but I'm a little suspect of that, the fact that they entered for the turf the first time, and now because it ran good in the dirt, it's going back to the dirt. And that move I don't particularly like. You're usually over bet. Though that horse has a chance, and I would definitely use the horse in the gimmicks, but I think we probably can beat him.
All right, let's move on to race number 8, the first of our stakes races on the day. This is the Smart and Fancy going 5.5 furlongs on the turf. How did you see it, Paul?
Well, this is today I either wanted today to just be a deluge of rain, because if you see, I own part of the three, main track only, Ladies Island. Unfortunately, we didn't get that, so I hope the sun comes out if it's not going to rain completely. But I actually like a horse in this race, number 8, Broadway Run, who you could make the argument that he's had chances to win and hasn't gotten it done in his last two, but the situations weren't perfect for him, and I just thought that there was more in the tank than what she was showing. And I like the fact that she's putting blinkers on today. Kind of just goes along that the barn is thinking the same thing I was thinking. You know, she was sharp, she was ready to run, she was there to win, and she just couldn't get it done. Maybe they thought that her concentration wasn't there, you know, when she needed to be. So it's probably an all or nothing thing by putting the blinkers on a horse like this. But I like the shot of it, and because I was thinking exactly the same thing as the barn. So the other horse that I had is the probable favorite, Morticia, who had a really bad trip in her last start, and there's nothing really that I can say that you can't see, except that trip was probably worse than maybe what the program says if you didn't see it.
It was a tactical decision that didn't work out, I guess, from the rider in that spot. We're not in the business of bashing riders.
No, you can't blame them.
But it didn't work out, and I was just worried. Morticia made my horse to watch list, as it did everybody's, and I was just worried about the price being incredibly short, but obviously one that has to be on the tickets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if you're playing a pick five, there's no way you can't use it.
All right, the next race in that pick five is the Grade 2 Lake Placid, the secondary feature on the day. I'm a huge Varenka fan, Paul, in general. Curious to see if she was going to maybe get her overdue stakes win in this spot, or, of course, Team Chad Brown looks fairly strong as well. How did you see the Lake Placid?
Well, I think that they're the main contenders, maybe with Feel Glorious, the Clement horse. I think the idea in this race is that you have to be against Regal Glory. She got a perfect setup. It's not like she can't win, but I think that the public's probably going to land on her as a slight favorite, and I think you probably want to go against that one. I think you might get value in the pick five because I don't think Chad has to win this one. And I think most people are going to just take the two and try to get by taking the two Chad Brown horses. So I was thinking more taking 1-4-6 and hoping. I don't really have a strong opinion on any three of them, but I think there's a little bit of perceived value in the race by going against the five.
That's interesting. That's a point I want to pause on for a second. The idea that you can narrow... Sometimes you like three horses in a race, and it means you have no opinion in the race, essentially, if they're going to be the three betting favorites. But you can actually still have an opinion in a race where you want to use three if there's value in opposing the ones at the top of the market. Is that the idea?
Exactly, and I think that's the whole betting strategy in these pick fives. And that's a relatively new concept since we have all these horizontal bets, you know, with these big pools. You're kind of forced into having an opinion in a race that you might not. So... I don't think I can say it better than you did.
Just wanted to see if I was onto where you were going there, because sometimes in these picks, you can get in real trouble in those in these spread races. But sometimes having that anti-opinion can be just as important as having the pro-opinion. All right, so 1-4-6 for Paul there. And that brings us to the featured race of the day, the Grade 1 Alabama. I'm a big Point of Honor fan. Do you think we're going to see her in the winner's circle when this is all said and done? We also have a short-priced favorite in Dunbar Road. Very curious to see what you think of those at the top of the market and if you have anything clever down the board.
Yeah, I do, and I'm with you. I think that that the Point of Honor is a contender, but I spent a lot of time on this race. I'm still thinking about it, how this is going to go, because I think it's an opportunity to bet against a favorite. You know, Dunbar Road... the horses that she beat haven't run good. There was one that ran off the board in a small stake or an allowance race the other day. Cookie.
I know the one you mean.
Yeah, and Cookie Dough. Yeah, and I don't like the fact that she's on the rail. I think she's going to, there's nothing really, I think it's a good situation to take a chance to beat this horse. So much so that I would just throw her out completely in the pick five.
That's bold.
There's lots of ways you can go, though, in this race. It's a great handicap and puzzle, you know. And I wouldn't talk anybody off of any opinion that they had. I do think that Street Band, who isn't going to be 10-1 morning line, and neither is the 4, by the way. Champagne anyway is going to be the one that's the they know type of horse. She's going to take lots more money than what their morning line. But I think Street Band is the horse that has the most upside in a 3-year-old filly race here. This isn't the strongest Alabama we've ever had. I mean, it's a good betting race, but she might be the only one that could go on and say, oh, Street Band won that race, you know, later on down in their careers, you know. I think the rest of them are pretty just ordinary type horses, and they've proven it over and over again. But Street Band's race last time in the Indiana Oaks was very impressive, and it was striking. It was a race where you take notice of it.
When you look at a race like the Alabama, 10 furlongs, becoming increasingly uncommon, to me, that difference between 9 furlongs and 10 furlongs plays out on the racetrack sometimes as a lot more than just a furlong. I feel like pedigree and training come into play more than in a shorter race where you can, in my opinion, more just rely on the numbers and what they run is what they run. Sometimes I feel like the 10 furlongs can separate out a bit. Do you see it that way?
No doubt. I wish we had more of these races. You know, they're much more complicated, and there's a longer run to the first turn than these two-turn routes. America's got these elongated sprints now as our route races with the short run to the first turn, and the horses don't get separated out, and they don't gallop fast in the first part of the race, so they don't get a chance to test their stamina, you know. And I'd like to see more races like this, because, you know, I've forgotten some of the things that you would want to see. Luckily, we have the Kentucky Derby, so you think a lot about the Kentucky Derby, so you think about the mile and a quarter races. But I agree totally with what you're saying. And along those lines, I think the horse you mentioned, Point of Honor, and the horse that's outside of her who's going to be longer than the 10-1, off topic, who might get lost in the betting. They both exit the Guarana race. And Guarana was impressed me last time when she won that race. And I know that Chad had to take the chance and put Dunbar Road in this race because Guarana going a mile and a quarter. But I think that would maybe been a better quality race than what people thought of it beforehand. And I thought both those fillies both ran good in that race. I've always liked Off Topic as a horse. And I like the fact that even Todd's running in the race. You know, he didn't have to run her in here, you know, knowing that she's going to be such a longer price. And, you know, he's won a lot of these races, but he doesn't run unless he thinks he has a chance. And he's not going to run in the Alabama and get embarrassed. He's just not going to put her in just to be in the race. So I think that she's a horse that I would definitely consider in all the gimmicks.
So even for on top and horizontals, not just one for underneath and verticals?
Yeah, she's going to be so long, I'm going to, just for sanity, I got to put her in the pick five if she ever won. But I think she's probably more a horse behind than
gotcha.
To win.
One to run in under. But, yeah, the insanity insurance, as we like to call it. All right, let's move on to the final race in this Naira late pick five sequence. We've got an allowance race for New York Breds going 7 furlongs on the dirt. the race that Harvey used to say across the street determines if you'd be dining out at one of the fancy spots here in Saratoga or with him at McDonald's. How are we going to get paid, Paul?
Well, I know there's never speed duels in NYRA anymore. But if this race stays together, I just quit. There's no way I just don't see how ever these fillies are going to stay together going seven furlongs with the speed horses that are in here. So I really like the three, not about the nail, on the cutback, who has the real good record at seven furlongs. And I know Eddie Barker hasn't had a good meet, but he's had a good year. And I like the 48 workout after the race over the track. And I just think she's going to get the absolute perfect setup in this race. I know she's not the most reliable mare, but she can get the job done when she's in the right spot. She's tried a long time to get this condition, but I just see this condition, this setup here as being ideal. The two, who is the closer that everybody's going to take, and probably going to take all the money, the clockers haven't liked the way she's trained since her last race. So if she runs her last race, she's going to be very tough. So it's kind of a conundrum.
What do you do in that situation when there's cross currents, when the paper tells you one thing and the whispers tell you something else?
Well, you got to let the odds dictate, you know. And in this case, I think that she's going to be the favorite or very close to the favorite. She may not take money because of the clockers. she may drift a little bit, but because she's one of the favorites, I got to lean against, you know, in that sense. I might use her defensively just because the race setup, I think, is going to favor her as well, you know. So it'd be tough to watch her run, you know, come with the three and beat her in a photo or something like that. But there at least is, if you want to go against the favorite there is at least a negative, you know, for you to do so.
So you're pro number three, Not About the Nail, anti semi, the two, Sweet Meadow Mist. Any others to include on spreadier pick five tickets?
Yeah, no doubt that the six, Take Me to Hardoon, is a horse that's like the fresh horse who's going to probably be the no horse type. She's going to take money, but I thought she might get caught up in the pace. If Saez can work out a trip, she might be all right, because she definitely runs well fresh, and she's coming in fresh and working good. And then a real long shot is the 10, Mary's Girl, who was earlier in the meet, the inside of the track was not very good, and she was stuck down on it. She gets, I like the fact that Irad Ortiz is just going to ride her back. It's not a switch or anything. I just like the fact that he's going to stick around in the last race to ride her on a 15-1 a morning line, and I definitely think she can get in it as a price. And she's three, and that's a horse that can improve.
Some excellent thoughts there. And I will say, over time, playing on the NYRA circuit, sometimes when a race looks like it has to melt down, I'll still want the best of what I think the best of the speed horses is, just in case the race holds together. Maybe that's number six, Take Me to Hardoon for you.
Yeah, hopefully that's the one that's the only speed type horse that I'm going to use.
All right, that is going to do it for this edition of the NYRA Bets podcast. Before we get out of here, warm round of applause for the great Paul Matisse. Excellent. All right, I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. In the Money Media's business manager is Drew Coatney. May you win all your photos. All right.